Okay, thank you for the introduction. My name is Ben Lifshitz. I work at Microsoft Research. Thank you very much for being here. Special thanks go to those of you who are here from the West Coast. I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast. Today I'm going to talk about Gatekeeper. This is joint work with Salvatore Guarnieri from the University of Washington. The focus of Gatekeeper is on static analysis of JavaScript. So what is this all about? Let me illustrate this with an example. So suppose you have a program. The program can be as simple as just alert hi, which will bring up an alert box, a message box. And suppose you know nothing about this program. This program could be malicious for all we know. We don't know about the source of this program. And we want to enforce some policies about it. Suppose we really hate these alert boxes and we want to prevent them at all costs. The question that we're trying to answer is how to do that statically. How do we do that by just looking at the program code? Well, so let's try to play this game and see how it turns out. Suppose the program is just this. Well, here the situation is really quite clear. We just have a call to alert. It's a direct call, nothing special about it, so we flag it. We don't like that. Okay, so we reject it. Let's make it this just a little bit more complex. So this is a little bit more complicated. Instead of direct call to alert, what we have over here is a call to document.write, which will, at runtime, embed this piece of script into the document. Now, when this runs, this will in turn invoke the alert function, which will bring up the dialog box. Okay, so this is slightly more complex. Now, we might decide to disallow document.write altogether as a construct to prevent this, but we might imagine an adversary who is more clever than that. So, for instance, here's a way to circumvent that sort of protection. So we might lsd to the document object, and then we might lsw to the write method of that object, and then we might proceed to call w, which basically accomplishes the same exact effect as we saw over here earlier. Okay, let's make this more complicated still. So instead of document.write, we might invoke the dreaded eval construct in JavaScript, which will, when run, proceed to generate basically the same code we saw in the previous slide. Here's another iteration. Instead of calling eval directly, which we might try to filter out, we will ls eval like this, and then proceed to call this function e, just to conceal our intentions further. And there are a couple of more examples of this. I mean, I was just trying to illustrate this point to make it perfectly clear, so we can use the function object over here, we can proceed to call it, or we can obfuscate, you know, the hell out of this example altogether. We can use, you know, these unescape obfuscation techniques to make it as, you know, unclear to a casual observer what's going on. Now, what is the point of these examples? What I'm trying to convince you about here is that analyzing JavaScript statically is a very, very difficult task. Yet, this is the very task we are trying to accomplish. So, Gatekeeper. The main contribution of Gatekeeper is a static analysis approach for JavaScript. The analysis approach we propose is actually fairly general. It can be used for a variety of purposes, like, for instance, doing performance optimizations or finding bugs. The focus of this paper, though, is on enforcing security and reliability policies. Now, the application we consider in particular in this paper is analyzing widgets, web widgets that are written in JavaScript in particular, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a second. Let me contrast the Gatekeeper approach with a couple of other approaches that are widely used in this space. So the first approach that is not the Gatekeeper approach is the JavaScript language subset. So probably some of you have heard about subsets like AddSafe and Cajita. Well, this is not really the focus of Gatekeeper, even though we use some subsetting-like techniques, as you'll see in a second. Another approach is techniques like Caja and Web Sandbox that essentially do heavyweight JavaScript rewriting. Again, this is really not the focus of Gatekeeper, even though Gatekeeper uses a lightweight version of rewriting in some situations. Okay, so this is the setup, really, to go back to the example I started with, which is basically there's a developer who produces a program. Okay, the program can be as simple as that, or it can go on for thousands of lines, we don't know. And, you know, there is a policy of some sort we want to enforce, like, you know, not bringing up that alert box. And then the goal of Gatekeeper is to, the goal of Gatekeeper, let me just go back, is to statically decide whether that policy holds or not. Okay, and the subject of our analysis is web widgets. So what are web widgets? On this slide over here, we see a variety of web widgets from one particular page, Google IG. So probably many of you have seen pages like this. So each of the highlighted regions over here corresponds to a separate widget. So this is a separate widget, so is this, 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 and so on. Now, if we look under the hood, we'll see that each of these widgets carries with it a bunch of JavaScript code. So over here, you see one of these widgets. This is the code. All of it is JavaScript, pretty much. Let me scroll it a little bit. Well, this is the code in its entirety. So it's not entirely trivial, but it's not that complicated either. This piece of code is probably, I don't know, 200 lines of code or so. And this is exactly our focus. We want to be reason about these programs. They're relatively small. We want to reason about them. Let me tell you a little bit about our experimental setup before I move on to talk about our techniques. We go and obtain existing web widgets, primarily web widgets, from sites, from three sources actually, from live.com, from Vista sidebar, the Vista sidebar over here, and the Google IG page. And we get tons and tons of these widgets. Altogether, we consider over 8,500 widgets. Over 8,000 widgets are being analyzed by Gatekeeper. And there, this is the breakdown, basically, you know, over 2,500 from live.com and so on. Now, there are tons and tons of them, but each of them is actually relatively small. So this chart at the bottom gives you some averages. So, you know, live.com is an average about 100 lines of JavaScript code. Vista ones are a little bit more complicated, on average about 250 lines. But this gives you some sense of what our target programs are like, which is to say that they're not terribly large, but we have a large number of them. So how does this all fit together? So on the left-hand side of the slide, you'll see a developer, right? So this is a widget developer. He or she writes a widget. And the goal of the host over here, right? We have a portal site like Google IG or live.com. The goal of that site, the goal of the host, is to enforce some sort of a policy. So the policy might say, well, you know, none of those dreaded alert boxes. That's my policy. Or it can say no redirects. You know, a widget is not allowed to change its location, right? Because that can be used for malicious purposes. Or it can say, well, no documented write. Why? Because it can lead to malformed HTML, it can lead to script injections, other undesired consequences as well. So the process is this. The developer proceeds to submit the widget to the widget host, which is running Gatekeeper. Now, if the Gatekeeper analysis is able to statically check the widget is deployed to the portal and basically goes to the user. If Gatekeeper is unable to reason about the program or it finds violations, then basically those violations are reported back to the developer and the whole process starts again. It's really quite simple. Here's an outline for the rest of the talk. One of the contributions of Gatekeeper that I'm going to talk about first is that we present a statically analyzable of subset of the JavaScript language we call JavaScript safe. On top of that, we define a points to analysis for JavaScript that is used for enforcing security and reliability policies. Furthermore, we present a total of 9 different security and reliability policies and provide experimental results for applying them to, you know, 8,000 widgets or so. So let me dig in a little bit deeper. So when it comes to analysis, the starting point is the entire JavaScript language. The entire JavaScript language, as I showed to you earlier, is a pretty nasty thing. There are features like, you know, this stuff that we really don't want to analyze. And even if we, you know, could analyze it, even if we wanted to analyze it, I should say, we cannot analyze these features soundly. So what we do next is that we remove some particularly evil features from the language. So things like eval and the function object with and a couple of other things here and there, which provides us with a subset of the language that we call JavaScript GK for gatekeeper. The second step is to remove a couple of other features over here. So we these features in HTML assignments and non-constant array accesses, which gives us a language we call JavaScript safe. So you probably understand what the deal is with in HTML assignments. These are basically ways to inject code, JavaScript code, into the application at runtime. So you want to be able to kind of protect against those, because really our approach is a whole program analysis approach. We really need to be able to see the entire program. We need to see the program in its entirety before we can do analysis. So we really need to protect ourselves against in HTML code injection tricks. But you might be wondering about the second one, this non-constant array access business. Well, so if you think about it for a second, you'll see that there are cases like this, for instance. So if you have an expression such as this, the Z over here is computed, and then you use Z to reference the document object, for instance, then, you know, if X could be the empty string, that will give you eval right away. So since it's our goal to prevent runtime code injection, because we are doing whole program analysis and we need to know what all the code is, we really need to protect ourselves against these possibilities. So how do we do that? Well, so, let me just kind of focus on JavaScript safe before I tell you a little bit more about instrumentation. So JavaScript safe is actually a pretty nice language. In many ways, it's similar to Java. There are some distinctions like, you know, the use of prototypes and first order closures that we deal with in the paper, but it's actually fairly analyzable, and this is a grammar for the language essentially. Now, the nice thing about JavaScript safe is that we don't have to do any sort of runtime checking. We can analyze it fully statically. When it comes to JavaScript GK, that language, plus a few other features like unresolved array accesses, we essentially need some form of basic instrumentation to ensure that no code introduction happens at runtime, and then, you know, we're good to go. Well, now you might be wondering, well, what good is all this? So what we are doing here is we are restricting the language in some ways that could appear pretty severe. So we run experiments and discover that, you know, we sort of analyze these widgets across the different sites, Live, Vista Sidebar, and Google IG page. And we discover that, say, in the case of Live.com, 23% of all widgets that we look at out of about, I think, 2,000 for Live.com are in the JavaScript safe subset over here. Now, 97% of these widgets, pretty much all of them, are in the JavaScript GK subset. So really, the takeaway from this slide is that one way or the other, with instrumentation or without, we can ultimately analyze from 65% to 97% of all widgets that we look at, depending on sort of the source of these widgets. So that's actually pretty good. We're able to analyze the majority of these widgets. And we can do so soundly. So let me talk about soundness. So here's basically how it works. So suppose we have an input program over here, and we decide that it belongs to the JavaScript safe subset. Then what it means is that we can soundly analyze it and soundly enforce whatever security and reliability policies we choose. So that's wonderful. That's great. Now, for the second subset, JavaScript GK, we are sound as long as none of the instrumentation that we insert is violated, right? So we basically insert sanity checks into the program. And it's not as long as none of them are violated, the results that we provide are still sound. Now, everything else, this is really the unpleasant category. For everything else, we don't really make any guarantees. We cannot make any soundness assertions about it altogether. We can still run the analysis, but you know, we cannot really promise anything about the results of that. Okay, so let me talk about the points to analysis, which is really the core of gatekeeper static analysis technology. The way it works in a nutshell is that we start with a program representation. This is our JavaScript program represented in some form. And we boil it down to points to relationship between variables in heap locations, locations in the heap. And, you know, just to get a little bit more technical, the analysis is inclusion-based, field-sensitive. And one of the complications we have to deal with is that we build a call graph on the fly. There is no predefined call graph that we rely upon. Some of the tricky issues that we discuss in detail in the paper is treatment of prototypes and function closures. Now, one nice thing is that the analysis, the points to analysis, is expressed in data lock, which makes it highly declarative. So these are the data lock rules pretty much for the entire points to analysis, more or less. Some of the details are relegated to the paper. But, you know, the declarative nature of it actually makes it very nice to write, debug, and add to it. So to add to this point, the policies that are built on top of the points to analysis are written in data lock as well. So this is actually a specific policy that looks for document.write calls. And this is the entire policy. It's 5 lines long, right? So it uses the points to relation that we computed in the previous step, in the points to step. You know, it has some other sort of mumbo-jumbo here, but, you know, it's fairly readable. And you can imagine writing a policy like that. If you look at a couple of them, it's really not that complicated. And, you know, you can use that policy to find something like this or this or this. And, you know, some of them are actually pretty nasty. Like this one, for instance, if you look at what it does, is that it, let me see, it writes an open block of a script, right? And then you can imagine that depending on the control flow, you know, this can lead to malformed HTML, or it can lead to script injection based on what comes afterwards, for instance. Let me focus on the experiments a little bit further. As I mentioned earlier, we defined a total of 9 different security and reliability policies. Some of these policies apply to all of the widgets that we consider. To all the, you know, 8,000 widgets that I showed to you earlier, we apply essentially all of these 6 policies, I believe. Six policies in the beginning apply to all of them. And these policies look for things like alert boxes, document.write, changes of location, opening new windows, and so on and so forth. Some of them apply to widgets from a particular host. Like, for instance, for live.com, we have specific policies that deal with how HTML, HTTP requests should be treated, or how global, you know, the global scope should be treated. Some of them apply to the Vista sidebar, so we have a tainting policy in that space as well. As I mentioned earlier, these policies are really highly declarative. So this is the entire policy declaration for Gatekeeper, for the results we report in the paper. This is the entire set of policies. This is 36 lines of data log. Now, admittedly, it took us a little bit of time to kind of debug this stuff, but as you can see, at the end of the day, it's really pretty easy to come into this and essentially add a policy or modify an existing policy, which is really nice if you're a host, you know, if you're a widget host. If you want to be more strict, if you have really custom defined policies, you can do so. You can write one of those in data like this. Well, so what did we find? All right, so we, as far as the warnings, as far as the violations of these policies we detect, we find a total of over 1,300 policy violations. These policy violations span about 600 widgets. Some of the widgets had multiple policy violations in them. Took us about, 10 to 12 hours to go through all of these violations and figure out which ones were actually false positives versus false negatives to double check what analysis was doing. And at the end of the day, we discovered that there's a total of 113 false positives that our analysis discovers. But the nice thing is that these false positives are localized to just 2 widgets, which means that, well, you know, basically it blows up on 2 widgets. So we send those widgets back to the developer saying, well, I don't know, this is just too complicated. We can't reason about this. Go and rewrite this stuff. But luckily for us, these false positives are not spread across, you know, all of the widgets in our test set. And this gives you a little bit more information about the different policies and violations. So over here, you know, there's information about alert, and violations of the alert policy are spread across, you know, Live and Sidebar and Google. So Sidebar, I think, dominates in this case, and then frozen violations, document that right, and so on and so forth. So there's quite a bit of a spread. Let me illustrate one of the false positives to you that we found. So this is a snippet from one of the widgets that causes false positives, files common.js. And these are kind of the main you know, culprits here, which is this array over here, A, which is a list from this arguments array over here, is really the source of false positives. Well, so what's going on here? So kind of roughly speaking, what's going on here is that we are unable to reason about array indices. That's really not our goal, and static analysis generally doesn't aim to do that. The other feature that kind of kills us is the use of this arguments array. We have to be conservative, which leads to too many false positives in this case. And this is a particularly kind of perverse case. This generally doesn't happen, right? Most of the violations we find are actually fairly local. But it's not impossible to imagine that with a more complex policy, so if you were to consider, for instance, a global tainting policy or something like that, we might see more false positives for our analysis, which will in turn force us to sort of add more precision to the analysis techniques. In conclusion, what I have presented today is Gatekeeper, which is a static analysis for JavaScript. The core of the technique that Gatekeeper uses is a points-to-value analysis. The focus, the main application, is analyzing widgets that are written in JavaScript. As far as the results, we find a total of 1,300 policy violations, over 1,300 policy violations, and false positives only affect two widgets in our experiments. This is all I have, and I'd be delighted to take some questions. Adam?
Yeah, I couldn't quite tell from your presentation. Does Gatekeeper require a complete understanding of the HTML parser in the browser?
No.
Oh, because you had a bunch of document.write examples with like tricky script tags. I was wondering if you had to like understand how those were parsed.
Could you speak? I'm sorry, there's an echo here.
Oh, sorry. You had a bunch of examples with like tricky script tags in like document.write and things like that. I was wondering if you had to understand how those were parsed.
We do not. So the policy that we have basically disallows document.write just because it's a suspicious construct. We do not try to reason about what's actually being written out. That would be another level of analysis. We do not attempt to do that.
I see. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a question.
Please.
So I liked how you focused on just studying widgets, so you had a very closed data set you could reason about. I was wondering if you applied your techniques more broadly to other more complex pages, because you know you see some pretty funky JavaScript out there on the web, and you know, what did you find, or did you even try to do that?
That's one of our sort of long-term goals. We have not done that yet. One of the challenges in that space that you'll discover quite quickly is that really most large applications do take advantage of some of those nested contracts that we are trying to avoid. So some of the approaches there would be to hand annotate the uses of those constructs for large application frameworks, for instance, so that we can still preserve soundness of our reasoning in that case. That would be our kind of long-term direction with this technology.
Would you comment on how your stuff relates to the JavaScript strict mode?
There are some, there are many connections. There are some subtle connections and some less subtle connections. So we are basically forced to do subsetting. I showed two subsets to you, JavaScript safe and JavaScript GK. Clearly, if you had mechanisms in the browser to, for instance, easily check that something falls into that subset, we wouldn't have to do that. Moreover, if we had other mechanisms in the browser to do lightweight instrumentation of the kind that JavaScript GK requires, that would considerably improve our overhead that is added by that instrumentation. So going forward, it's our hope that you know, we'll see some kind of merge in that space. That would be nice.
Any more questions? Okay, let's thank the speaker.